Just now, Linda read to you a passage from 1 Corinthians, and this is a passage that most commonly is read at services of ordination to the various offices and ministries of the church. And this is proper. After all, in his letter to the Christians in the Greek city of Corinth, the apostle wanted his readers to understand that everyone has a role to play in the life of the church, and that each person's role is vital to the overall vitality of the church, just as the well-being of each part of the body is necessary for the overall health of the whole body. It's a great message for a service of ordination, but a person could be excused for asking what it has to do with Advent. This is the season that begins today, and this is the season that prepares the church for the celebration of Christmas. So it would be fair to ask, why am I preaching from a passage of Scripture usually reserved for services of ordination? I'm glad you asked that question. Thank you, I will tell you. And in answer to the question, I want to offer this invitation to you. And this invitation is that as we prepare for Christmas, as we journey through these weeks of Advent, drawing inspiration from the words of prophets, lighting candles, and remembering the promise that light will shine in the darkness, as together we long for joy and peace and hope, even in these troubled times, I hope that during this Advent, you will prepare for Christmas in the way that you need to prepare for Christmas. Keep watch for the birth of Christ. Observe a blessed Advent in the way that is best for you and in the way that is necessary for you. You see, I'm aware that during this time of year, there's a lot of pressure upon us that we be someone else. If the neighbors install an amazing light display all over the front of their house, it can feel necessary to respond in kind. With at least the attempt at shiny brightness, even if your heart is not in it. If your free-spending cousins and coworkers are buying extravagant gifts, reciprocal giving can feel like a requirement, even if you cannot afford it. If your friends are wearing goofy sweaters and drinking eggnog until their noses shine like Rudolph's, you may feel obliged to go online and buy a pair of sparkly reindeer horns to wear to holiday parties where you pretend to be happy, even if you'd rather stay at home and watch old Christmas movies crying every time Clarence the Angel gets his wings. Now, this is not to say that I hope you will retreat into some kind of rugged individualism or antisocial loneliness during this Advent season. Rather, I hope that we as a spiritual community can be a body with many members. And if the whole body, if the whole community is going to be healthy, the individuals who make up that community must also be healthy. And the spiritual cycle of the next 6 weeks gives us a wonderful opportunity to move towards wholeness. The next 6 weeks include Advent's expectation, the joy of Christmas, and the adoration of Epiphany. This spiritual cycle can be wonderfully restorative and health-giving, but only if we take care of ourselves, and only if we do those things which strengthen our souls. Otherwise, this season can drain us. We cannot celebrate another person's Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany. We have to listen with our own ears to the songs of angels. We have to walk with our own feet to Bethlehem, where, when we have reached the manger, we must kneel on our own knees. What this means is that you don't have to measure up to someone else's expectations, and you don't have to fulfill somebody else's wishes. You can, and indeed you must, be yourself and tend to your needs during this season. And when you do, you will be strengthening the whole community, the whole body of Christ. Now here at Montclair Presbyterian Church this year, we have chosen to observe the first Sunday of Advent with music. And I think that this music gives us a handy metaphor for the work we need to do to be a healthy community made up of healthy individuals. After the sermon, we're going to sing an antiphonal hymn, meaning that we're going to sing it back and forth using different parts of the sanctuary. And as we do, each side will have to sing its own stanza. When the brass ensemble plays, before they play, each instrument must tune itself. It does no good for the French horn to tune the trombone. And each choir member must learn his or her own music. And then, when the instruments are tuned and the music is learned, only then can we make wonderful music together. This is a good metaphor for the work we must do during Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany. Each of us must seek spiritual strength so that all of us can be spiritually strong. So, dearly beloved, keep the Advent that you need to keep. If you need to hang mistletoe from every door frame, if you need to wear Christmas ornament earrings and listen to Frosty the Snowman in a continual loop, go for it. If you need to retreat for a time into the darkness of the season, to explore the recesses of your disquiet and sadness, do that. If during this cycle of Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany, you need to focus on gathering with family around large tables filled with cookies and turkey and pumpkin pie, by all means, start cooking now and let me know when you need help eating. If with the poet, you find yourself asking, what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches towards Bethlehem to be born. And if inspired by this apocalyptic language and imagery, you find yourself needing to name and to address the sins of Washington and Sacramento, then God's blessings be yours. If during Advent your heart is leading you to serve the poor, to do something about the homeless sleeping under overpasses in our city, to address the needs of those who are unjustly incarcerated, then know you are doing God's Advent work. And when each is following the Advent path that is right and healthy for each, then we will meet together in Bethlehem, where all Advent paths converge. And we will be a community made strong by the Advent journey that leads us to Mary's child. Amen.